Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to look at another recipe tonight. This is going to be one that affects everybody in the room. All right? So go ahead and moan and groan and get it over with to start with. I'm preaching it myself tonight just as much as I am anybody else. So hang in there. I feel your pain. Amen. James chapter 1, and we're going to read two verses tonight. Look down in verse number 19. James chapter 1, verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Tonight, we're going to talk about the recipe for temper control. Yeah, just what you wanted to hear, isn't it? This is one of those that none of us want, but we all need, and there's a recipe here, and I think I may surprise you with some of the things that are said tonight. Let me just jump right in. Anger is a good emotion. Amen. In which God gave us as a tool to help people we love. Anger is a good emotion which God gave us to be used as a tool to help people that we love. Now, because God commands us to be angry, Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. In other words, you can be angry without sinning. That means this: if God commanded you to do something, you can do it by your will.
That's right.
It's something that you will yourself to do. That means this. In other words, anger is something we can and should control. It should not control us. Ouch. Now, no one was ever made more or having more or a hotter temper than anybody else. Well, I just have a hotter temper. No, you just let it control you more. It's not the color of your hair. It's not the length of your fuse. Temper is something that everybody has. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself tonight. Yeah. But you, like any of your other emotions, are to control them, not to let them control you. Emotions are not bad things when we have them in control. When we let emotions control us, that's when sin takes place. It's amazing. And I taught years ago a whole series on Wednesday night on biblical emotions. It's fantastic. And biblical senses. But may I say this? Anger isn't the problem. It's whether it controls us or we control it by our will. When we make statements like, well, I just lost my temper. In other words, you let anger control you. You lost the temperance to hold anger back and you let the wrath flow through you. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Did you know that the devil probably works on your anger more than anything? Did you know the angrier you get, the less control you have? If you let the emotion of anger control you, you have no control over yourself. Any of you fellas ever try to break up a fight between two guys? It's like two wild animals going at each other. I mean, they can't even see each other. They're just everywhere. They're totally enraged, and the rage is controlling them, and they can't see straight. If you can holler at them and get their attention, say, look at me. When you finally get their attention, you can stop the brawl. You can stop somebody from getting angry if you can just get them to focus on something. Now, let me say this. Anger is not bad unless we use it in a sinful way. Anger is a good emotion, but if we don't use it the right way, okay, love is something that's good, but if it's used the wrong way, guess what? We're in trouble. We often associate anger as bad because we let anger control us in so many ways. God gave us the emotion. God says anger is a good thing. Be angry and sin not. It becomes sin when we let anger control us and we don't control it by our will. Now, listen to this very carefully. Like any emotion, if it controls us, it becomes sinful. God gave us emotions to enhance life, but you can't live on spice alone. You're not going to go home for dinner and the wife pull out the spice rack and say, okay, do you want oregano and garlic and let's put it on a plate and eat it. No, you want something that, you know, go ahead and add that to whatever you make, but I want more than just a few dried up leaves and stuff. you got to have a little substance with that. It may improve or change the flavor of something, but that's all that an emotion is for. It's not the entree. It's just to spice it up a little bit. Now, God gives us a recipe for how we're to use our anger and our temper and keep it in control. Are you ready? Let me give you the three ingredients. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Those are your three ingredients. Verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, let's talk about those for a few minutes, and I think I can help you tonight. The first ingredient, swift to hear. The word swift means ready or prepared. It means something that you have done in advance. God says we need to be prepared in advance to hear what could cause us to get angry. Is that not what he said? Swift. When I go into certain meetings with people that have a way of getting under my skin, I prepare myself to not allow them to get under my skin. I prepare to hear things that could make me angry, but I don't let get me angry. There are times I have to meet with people, like the county, and I have to prepare myself not to get angry. Do I want to get angry? Oh, my flesh wants to really bad. But I've prepared myself in such a way to where I refuse to let them control the anger that comes out. So swift means ready or prepared. God wants us prepared to listen before we react. Parents, be ready to hear your child say something that's going to make you angry without you getting angry. There are times they need anger. That is true. But it ought not be reactionary. It ought to be by the will. Now, the word hear, this is something else that this is something that is really going to work on your brain for a little while here. It doesn't just mean using these things on the side of your head and hear a noise go through your eardrums. The word hear means to understand all of the facts. It's not the word acoustic, basically. It's not the right pronunciation in the Greek. But it is, it's a form of the word that means this. It's a legal term that means it is like a hearing in a courtroom. You have the defense and you have the prosecution and you hear all of the facts at a, what do they call it? A hearing. God says we ought to be swift to hear all of the facts, both sides, not just one. If you react hearing one side, thinking you know what the other side is, you're unjust and you've lost your temper. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Hear is a legal term like the hearing or to hear a case. You have to lay out all the facts and the evidence before a decision is rendered. Some of you, well, let me say it this way. Most people hear one side of the story and react in anger, and then things get more complicated. Right. Well, he hit me. So what do? Whap, don't hit your brother. You didn't ask, you just reacted. You don't know the whole story. Even if you saw them whack their brother, maybe you didn't see what caused the whack. And justice requires you to lay out all the facts before you get angry by your will. Boy, that's good stuff. We need to prepare our mind to hear all the facts before we make a decision as to whether to get angry about it or not. Most of you waste anger because you do it reactionary and you don't hear everything and decide, I need to get angry about that. I hope this isn't a bad term. It means we're not supposed to just pop off because you heard something. It means you saw something and you react and, man, I'm just going to come unscrewed on that. That is not swift to hear. Our temper wants to react at first facts. You watched an entire world panic over a virus. First facts. Did you know the percentages have not changed in 6 months on that virus? You still have a 0.002% chance of getting it and a 0.0002% chance of dying from it. It has not changed in the entire process around the world. Now, don't get mad at me. The press wants you to hear one side. Do you ever notice things are so slanted one direction in the media? Isn't it amazing? Somebody will be shot and killed, and this guy, he's a murderer, and he's going to go to jail, and he's being tried for this. And then about 4 months later, 6 months later, you find out it was self-defense, but there's nothing printed as a retraction. They had him guilty from day one. Isn't it amazing that the press knows who's guilty of what before it's ever been taken to court? I'll be honest with you, I don't watch news anymore. I don't. You say, why? I can't take the negative slant and stay peaceable. It makes me angry. I'm tired of being lied to. I was able for a long time to prepare myself to hear it and listen through the mud to get to the real facts, but now they won't even print the real facts. Somebody needs to go to jail from the former presidential administration. Should be a lot of them. And I'd like to shoot for number one first. And then the one that's going to lose the next presidential election ought to be in the jail cell next to him. He'll think he's at home. It won't matter. I'm not sure he's stable enough to handle it. Now, wait a minute. You say, what is that? The press wants you to hear one side. Well, the CDC says, okay. How about the 600 doctors that petitioned President Trump in the last 2 weeks saying that it's unhealthy for everybody to stay quarantined at home? And we're having more problems by people staying at home than exposing people to it.
Right.
600 doctors in a formal letter. Everybody doing okay? Why is it that it's the liberal governors who are getting more stringent, not less stringent? Old knucklehead Northam down here in Virginia. We're going to make everybody wear masks now, and he got caught in public without it. Well, I just wasn't prepared. Yeah, right. That mask is not going to keep anybody healthy. It is a sign of conformity. Compliance. You're going to see the word compliance a lot more. By the way, go to Korea, go to Vietnam, go to China, go to Japan, and that's what they use as compliance. If you're not complying to it, then they either take you to jail or kill you. They know you're in compliance by wearing one of those. Well, I'm a rebel, I guess. Well, it's your responsibility to keep everybody else well. Show me where that's at anywhere. I hate to disappoint you. That's not my responsibility.
Amen.
When I counsel, if I have two people that are at odds with one another, a husband and a wife, I listen to both sides. Usually I pull both of them in at one point in time. At the beginning, and then I'll say, okay, I'll have the husband step out and I'll listen to the wife. And while she's talking, I'm thinking, that dirty dog. He comes in here, I'm going to beat the tar out of him. And I hear her side. Then, Brother Barnes, can you turn this main down just a hair? It's ringing. Anybody else hear that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's not just going through my ears then. But, you know, she's talking, telling me all the bad things he's done and how mean he is and how much of a reprobate he is. And I'm starting to agree with her. And, you know, I just get a little angry in there. But I've been through enough of these situations. I get done listening to her side of things. I send her out, bring him in, then listen to him talk. And then I'm ready to let him womp on her for a little while. I think, yeah, you little deceitful thing, you. You told me this, and now, here's the reality of it. Somewhere in between there is reality. If I listen to both sides, I can find out what's real and what's not real. See, our side is our perception of something. That third party is able to step back and say, by experience, and knowing this and knowing this, here's our chart out. It's, by the way, I rarely agree with any one side 100%. Not because I'm trying to disagree with anybody, just nobody usually has a perfect sense of this. It's very rare. Say, what do? I listen to both sides. Then they walk out and I couldn't tell you what we talked about. I asked the Lord, help me forget about it, and I forget about it. I don't think about it again. I never think about it. It never comes back up in my brain. And it's not there. Good night. I was a principal and worked in Christian education administration for over 20 years. Do you know, I can't hardly remember one thing any kid ever did wrong. Now, I know I went through thousands of administration and discipline issues. Thousands and hundreds of thousands. But I can't remember a one of them, hardly. Say, why? There's too many of them. No. It's just, I always ask the Lord to help me forget it. Because I don't want to look at the next time they come into my office and say, well, you dirty dog, you were just in here 6 weeks ago. And I know people come back and say, preacher, do you remember? No, what did we talk about? I sincerely don't remember because I've never thought about it again from the moment you stepped outside that office. We're to be swift here. We're to prepare ourselves to hear things that could cause us to get angry, hear the entire thing, all sides of it, look at it, decide, does this merit me getting angry or not? That sure will cut down most of the arguments that you have. That sure cuts down some of the strain and stress at the house or at work. Number two. You wished I would have left that one a long time ago, right? Number one, swift to hear. Number two, slow to speak. The word speak here means systematic discourse. It means a planned talk. It literally means to preach. I don't just get up here, open my Bible, and start talking. It's planned. I have an outline. It's there. It's planned. You may not understand it. You may not see it, but I do. Every time I speak here, I have an outline. I've prepared it. I've studied it. I've worked at it. I know what needs said here. I know what needs said there. I know what order we're going to say this. Say, why is that? Because it has to be planned. God says for you to keep from losing your temper, we have to plan. We have to be slow to speak. We need to take time and schedule what we're going to say if we're going to get angry. Boy, this is good stuff. God does not want us saying whatever comes to our brain. When you start saying whatever comes to mind, that's when things turn loose. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever said something? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever said something, boy, you wished you shouldn't, you know you shouldn't have said it, wish you wouldn't have said it. Say, what was that? Because it came to your mind. Yeah, daily. You're just like your mother. Okay, that probably shouldn't be said. Right? Just because it came to your mind, and it may be true, but it still doesn't need said at that moment. All right? God doesn't want us just popping off at the mouth. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Just so you know, it's not me saying it. I'll let God say it, and then you can get mad at him. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 6. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Notice God talks about a foolish person here. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That means don't listen to the press. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Verse number 8. Verse number 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom. I want you to know something. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. He's looking for it, but he doesn't find it. Why? Because he's around foolish people. Foolish people say whatever is on their mind. There's no knowledge there. They're just reacting all the time. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse number 11. I quote this verse probably more times than I should. And to myself, but I need it more than most. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Well, I'm just going to dump the truck. I'm going to say everything I'm thinking. Wrong answer. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in. Say, what is that? Slow to speak. There are many times I've had a lot of things I'd like to say that I just have refused to say because it's going to cause the situation to escalate. God talks about that. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Oh, my soul. Psalm 19, verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth. Before you lose your temper and say whatever's on your brain, how about you stop and say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And then see if you can say it. We need to slow down our tongue. God wants us to plan our words. Unplanned words create emotions and anger. Turn to James chapter 1. We were just there. We were in verse 19, but we started in James chapter 1. Look at verse number, I don't think it's James chapter 1. I think it's James chapter 4, James chapter 3, James 3:6. The Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Folks, that's pretty serious stuff. Think of how many wars were started with the tongue. And I'm just talking about in your house. Think of how many bad things have happened because somebody opened their mouth and started talking. How many times have you talked yourself into getting angry? You know, if we would slow down and listen to both sides instead of talk about how we feel about something, did you ever notice anger is pretty selfish? Anger is about me, how it affected me. Most of the time, anger is about ourself. When we hear things that cause the emotion of anger to arise, we should wait, hear the whole case, then plan our words to speak as a judge at a trial. How'd you like to sit through a law case and be the judge sitting there not being able to say anything? He has to wait to the very end before he issues a ruling. Say why? Because justice requires him to shut up and only speak at the very end. If we would look at life in that light, with it takes the anger out of things. Instead of just reacting and saying whatever you want said, and you explode those feelings, a tongue is a fire set on edge, set on fire of hell. Man, we just start talking and talking and talking and talking. Man, you can get anybody in the world all talked up into things. I promise you, in 15 minutes, I could get this place ready and we would drive to Charleston and march on the Capitol. I could get you mad enough. I could get you mad enough to meet me down to the Jefferson County Council meeting whenever it meets next. I could get you worked up over it so bad that you'd get there, but why should I? If we would guard our tongues, we wouldn't have to use as much anger. We're supposed to plan it. I've used this illustration. I'll use it again. I had a young person. Man, I tried and tried and tried and tried. I tried this, I tried that, tried this, tried that, tried this, tried that. I was in a school situation. And I mean, probably a year and a half worth of trying to help this young person. And I did everything but get angry. I finally went to the pastor and said, if this young person goes this direction and does this again, or goes into that realm of things again, just so you know, I'm going to come unscrewed. I said, I've tried everything. It's time to get angry. He said, I think you've been more than patient, Brother Bush. He said, I think that you ought to. He said, what are you going to say? I said, well, I don't know what they're going to do wrong yet, but I said, I'm going to head down this path, and this path, but it's probably going to be a lot stronger and a lot louder than it's ever been. He said, good, they need to hear it. I said, well, you know, if I do, the parent is going to be in your office the very next moment. He said, that's okay. He said, and he wrote it down what the date was that I talked about it. Sure enough, within the next 2-3 weeks, as that person's habit was, they crossed the line. As I had planned, I came unscrewed. I raised my voice. I hit point number one. Raised my voice, I hit point number two. I didn't even have a poem. Raised my voice, hit point number three, and hit point number four while I was walking out. I didn't pray. I didn't say, God bless you. Well, first thing the next morning, guess who was at the office? Banging on the preacher's door. And I got a phone call. I was waiting on it. I almost went and waited with him. I knew what was coming. He called me over, and he said to the parent, he said, I know why you're here. You're here because you're upset with Brother Bush for unloading on your child, correct? Yes. He said, hang on. He opened up a folder. He pulled out a piece of paper and he showed that parent the date on it where it said, if this young person does this one more time, he's going to raise his voice and he's going to use the tool of anger on that young person. Showed it in his own handwriting. She looked at him. She looked at me. And he said, Brother Bush is not angry. He just used it as a tool. He tried everything else. He said, Brother Bush, are you going to hold it against their child? I said, not at all. I said, I hope it worked. I said, I hope it got their attention. She apologized to me. I walked out of the office and the pastor helped her for a while. Now, wait a minute. It was planned. I didn't just come unscrewed. It may have seemed that way, but oh, it was planned. I had held it off for a long time. That's what God says we should do. Now, so we should be swift to hear, slow to speak. Last one, you ready? Slow to wrath. The word wrath means violent passion. Violent emotion means indignation. It's not just getting a little mad. It's throwing things. It's screaming and hollering, out of control. I mean, it's wrath. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 17. He that is, what's the next word? Soon angry. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Guess what? Did you ever work around somebody that lost their temper all the time? Nobody likes working with them. Say why? Because they soon are angry. You know it's not going to take long, and they're going to come unscrewed. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 18. Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The guy that's always getting mad at work gets everybody mad around him. But the Bible says he that is slow to wrath gets everybody calmed down. Are you the one that stirs up or the one that calms everybody down? Ouch. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I didn't say it, folks. I'm just the mailman. I didn't send the letter. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse number 9. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. That hastiness, that instability, that whenever it brews, it just blows kind of thing. God says, don't do that. That rests in the heart or the bosom of fools. Nahum 1:3. I'm not going to have you take time to turn there, but the Bible says that the Lord is slow to anger. God is slow to anger. Aren't you glad God's slow to anger with us? Aren't you glad that God doesn't come unscrewed on us? That's what hell's going to be. But by the way, that was planned by God. He's not just popping off with emotion. It is the wrath of God that abideth forever. Now, wrath and anger is not bad, or they are not bad, as long as it's not controlling us. When it controls us, it becomes sin. You see, when it controls us, it's harming somebody, it's not helping somebody. When we control it, we can help somebody. Did you know a controlled explosion is a good thing? That's how you got here tonight in your car. You had a series of controlled explosions in your engine. Every one of those cylinders that fired, every time it fired, it was a controlled explosion. And the power is what generated the ability to get here. But boy, an uncontrolled explosion in a car isn't a good thing. If it just blows up, you got problems. The controlled explosion is beneficial. The uncontrolled explosion is when people get hurt. Boy, that's a good statement. We are not to be provoked to anger. We're not supposed to let people provoke us into getting angry. Oh, there's provokers out there. They're going to try to get you angry. That's what the news media is for. They're wanting to lure you in to get you angry, but don't fall into the trap. We're to choose by our will that someone we know and someone we love needs anger so that they don't do wrong again. As I corrected my children when they were young, there were times I had to choose to get angry. I didn't want to be, but I had to be for their sake. There's times I was in a really good mood and I didn't want to paddle one of them. But it's what they needed, so I had to put the grumpy face on and get angry about it. For their sake. Was I mad and out of control? No. But I got angry because I loved them and I did not want them to go down a path of rebellion and wrong and end up hurting and destroying other people along the path. So you have to get angry. I wasn't angry at them. I'm angry at the wrong they did, and it was planned on how to take care of it. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What makes you angry? Don't answer that out loud, please. Most of you don't even know what makes you angry. Let me challenge you. Go home and in the next 24 hours, write a list of things that make you angry. Most of you don't even know what it is that makes you angry. Everything! Write it out. I know what things cause me to get upset real fast. I know what those things are. Say why? Because I studied me to find out what makes me angry. Then we need to, in that same list, maybe on a different piece of paper, write a list of things that we will allow ourselves to get angry about. See, just because I can get angry at something doesn't mean it's the right thing. Then I ought to have a list about that which I will get upset about. I'll get upset about bad doctrine. I'll get upset about somebody preaching wrong doctrine. I'll get upset about somebody hurting somebody I love. If I walk out and you're in a scrap with somebody, I'm going to knock the tar out of somebody and then find out why I did it. Say why? Because I believe in defending my friends. I'll find out why later, but I'll help you. Now, I may not defend myself, but I'll defend you. Everybody doing okay? I'm not gonna worry about people saying bad things about me. I'll shut them up and saying something about you. They can say all the nasty negative things that they want about me. That's okay. They open their mouth about somebody I love, I'm gonna fill their mouth with my fist. Either shut it or I'll shut it for you. We might wire it shut, but it's going to stay shut. Because I won't let somebody talk bad about somebody that I love. Everybody doing okay? See, I know what I'll get upset over. I know what upsets me. But I also know what I'll allow myself to get angry at. Then try to avoid people that make you angry. You say, okay, I'm married to them. I hatched them. There are times that you know you shouldn't talk about certain things. Maybe it ought to be figure out better times to talk about things. Boy, that's good stuff. I've got to hurry. A wise person will avoid what makes people they love angry. If I know something makes my wife angry, I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to keep her around it just to get her all worked up. Now, it's pretty hard to get my wife angry. But I'll promise you, if you've ever seen her angry, you don't want to be around. I've only seen it a few times the entire time we've been married in 31 years. But trust me, you don't want to be on the receiving end of it. I've watched her back people down a whole lot bigger than anybody in this church. And they're like, you crossed the line, dude. It's your fault. You face the music, not me. I got to go home with her. I'll let her come unscrewed on you, not on me. Now, some of you enjoy poking the bear, and it bites every time. And you just enjoy poking the bear to watch it bite. You know, that's not real smart. That's not real smart. Some of you wonder why she gets upset at that. Well, you keep doing it, it's no wonder, ding dong. Maybe you shouldn't keep poking the bear. Everybody doing okay? Did you ever think just because you poked it, it got upset? Some of you pester and pester and pester the dog, and then when he shows his teeth and snarls at you, you get mad at it. You're the one pestering him. I do it just to watch the teeth come out. I don't get mad. I think it's fun. Now, in other words, okay, I make a list of things I can say that make me angry or cause me to get angrier. And the things that I can avoid, I do. For instance, I made a statement just a little while ago. I've quit watching news. Why? Makes me angry. So I'll avoid it. I just avoid it. Boy, that's good stuff. I try to avoid talking about this virus stuff. It makes me mad. So I have avoided talking about it so I don't get angry. Because I could work myself up into getting mad real quick. In other words, we need to plan our anger as a tool to help someone we love and not just blow up at what irritates us. We're to choose our anger, not lose it and let it fly. Well, I really let them have it. They really needed it. It's rare. By the way, if you had to cut loose, you're probably not going to be happy about it. My wife will tell you, I've preached some pretty hard sermons, and every time, it's hard on me. I don't like preaching corrective kind of sermons. I don't like preaching wild and crazy and hard like that because it honestly, it's not easy for me. I love people so much. We ought to plan our anger as much as the preacher plans his sermons. As much as if you had to give a speech at work in front of a group of people about something and you had to have it planned. That's how you ought to plan getting upset. Boy, that's good stuff. I've got to finish. Sometimes things happen at which, in our emotions, we want to get angry. Sometimes we need to get angry. God gave us a recipe. That recipe is this: be swift. That means be ready to hear. That word hear means hearing both sides, getting all the facts together before you make a decision. So we have to be swift to hear. We ought to be slow to say anything about it till we have all the facts. Then we ought to be slow to choose anger and to see whether it's needed and how much is needed. That's what God's recipe is about. By the way, James says, in the book of James, it says in James chapter 1, verse number 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Just because you came unscrewed, you're not doing God's business for him. You think you're doing God a favor by getting mad for him. Notice verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." I preached pretty hard on Sunday on salvation. I happened to know somebody was here that was lost. First time in their life, they're thinking about the gospel right now. It got to them. I'll be honest with you, it was hard on me. I don't like being hard. But every once in a while, you got to be so that somebody will listen to the truth. And that's what God's talking about here. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Like I said, this is for everybody. Young, old, newly saved, been saved since Noah got off the ark. It doesn't matter. We all need this.